Okay, hey everybody, welcome to my first interview. I am Chef Ryan Callahan, and welcome to my podcast, The People Behind Your Food. So I'm here with my first guest, Clint McDonald, and he is in the Coast Guard, which is not the Navy, I've been told. It's not even close. So anyways, he cooks on a Coast Guard boat. And so let me start with, who are you and what exactly do you do?
My name is Clint McDonald, and I am the food service officer for the Coast Guard Cutter Cheyenne based out of St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay, so let's start right there. St. Louis, Missouri, yep. What is that even, how is that possible? You're in the middle of the country, we don't have a coast. What are you guarding?
So our boat is responsible for setting the buoys and the day boards along the river. So those red and green things you see sticking up in the water.
There we go, red and green things.
We make sure that those are in place so that way boats know the safe channel to navigate through. Because if the boats go on either side of those, there's a possibility of them running aground. So it's our job to make sure all those things are in place. So that way the massive amounts of economy going up and down the river every day continues to flow safely without crashing.
So things still move up and down the river?
Oh,
even
yes.
Though we have like trains and planes and cars, yes, and semi-trucks and everything else, so stuff goes up and down the river?
Oh, yes, every day.
That's awesome.
Millions and billions of dollars.
That's a lot. So he's responsible for a lot of things here. So, okay, so that's who you are. So what? So you cook on the Cheyenne, right? That's what it's called? Mm-hmm. Okay, so how big is the boat, just generally? Just to visualize how big of a boat you're dealing with here.
So the boat itself is a 75-foot vessel.
Okay.
And then we always have at all times a 100-foot barge attached to us.
Okay.
That we're pushing at all times.
Now, is that like to help you lose weight? Or
I wish.
Like weight training?
Thankfully, boats don't need to lose weight. But the barge is where we hold all those red and green things. So we have a giant crane that picks them up, sets them on the deck. So that way our boys can then attach them to these really big rocks that weigh hundreds of thousands of pounds a piece.
Wow.
And it's attached to a really long chain, which mm-hmm. then all gets pushed over the water. So it's pretty much an anchor holding the buoy up and down,
so
keeping
are
it
you,
from floating away.
So are you guys like just mostly in St. Louis itself, or do you go up and down the river? Or?
So we have a specific area that we operate in. Can't really go too much into
sure,
that,
yeah,
but
yeah,
we cover the rivers.
Okay, you cover the rivers. Okay. Now, who covers the ponds? Is there like any jurisdiction?
That's
there?
The other puddle pirates.
Okay, cool. So that's who you are and what you do. So you're in the Coast Guard. That's what you do. So how long have you been in the Coast Guard?
I have been in the Coast Guard now 6 years.
Six
years?
Okay, so you're in St. Louis now. Where else have you been? Have you been just here? Or?
So out of boot camp, I got stationed in Juneau, Alaska for a year and a half.
Okay. Sounds warm.
Yeah, it's like a rainforest. It just rains a lot.
Yeah.
Doesn't snow.
Okay.
And then from there, I went to what we call A School in Petaluma, California.
Okay.
To become what was then called a food service specialist, which sounds like a lunch lady, and is now a culinary specialist, which sounds like a chef.
Yeah.
It looks much better.
It's better than going to B school.
Yeah.
I mean, because you don't want to send people like D school.
Exactly.
You know, like,
also,
yeah, where'd you go?
Resume.
I went to F school.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Pretty much.
Like, we couldn't get into A school. We really weren't good enough for B school. And C school is just like, that was just dreaming for us, you know?
Pretty much.
Okay.
And then from there, I went to a 210-foot boat in Kittery, Maine. And then after that one, I went to a 110-foot boat in Manama, Bahrain in the Middle East. And
okay.
Now I'm here.
Okay, so you were basically...
Boat.
If we could play a game.
Boat.
Goose.
Pretty much boat.
Okay, so you've been in the Atlantic, you've been in the Pacific, you've been on the Mississippi River, which is by far probably the greatest body of water.
Yeah,
you've ever been on.
I love it.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about they ask for eggs over easy and it becomes scrambled due to the waves.
Sure, yeah. See, these are genuine concerns, people.
It's true.
This is real investigative journalism here.
It's true.
You heard it first here on The People Behind Your Food. Anyways. See, we're having fun, guys. If you guys have questions, feel free to post them into the comments. We'll address them as soon as we possibly can. We have a whole production staff working to meet your needs. So, okay, so tell me so obviously you're cooking on a boat, right? I've cooked on a boat before. It was a pontoon boat, and I was fairly drunk. And that was pretty difficult, right? You're like, and I didn't know if it was because of the song playing on repeat about the pontoon boat that I was on. That was a country song. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Anyways, I can't say it because it's copyright, but we're going to get the joke. So what's the challenge of your position, like being on a boat. So like how big is, okay, first off, let's start with how many people do you cook for?
It all depends on what we have going on, but it can range anywhere from like 12 to 20 people.
12 to 20 people. Okay. So, how many people do you work with? Is it just you? Is it 20 people?
So the unit I'm at, it is independent duty. So I am the only person. It is just me. I pretty much run a small galley or a small restaurant by myself.
Sure.
I'm in charge of the cooking, the cleaning, the menu planning, doing all the end of the month paperwork, making sure we're staying within budget and all of that.
So you're like the executive chef, but you have no staff.
Yes.
If the executive chef was also the dishwasher, the nighttime cleaner, and the prep cook.
I mean, the best way, I'm like the mom of the boat, so I'm in charge of the cooking.
Okay.
I'm also the master at arms, which is in charge of the cleaning.
Okay.
I'm the CDAR, which is the command drug and alcohol representative, which is in charge of making sure people don't drink too much.
And then that's a good one.
Yeah. And then I'm the...
because you were dropping all those booze. You know, like, how drunk can you be and drop booze at the same time? I mean, like, at least three beers. Like no more than that, I don't think.
And then lastly, I'm the morale officer, so the happiness.
So you're also in charge of giving out the beer. If you guys have had enough beer, we're going to have to... We're going to have to cut you off, you know? Like,
well, we can't have...
But we're sad. Oh, here's more.
Well, we can't have alcohol on the boat.
Okay.
Not allowed to drink while we're underway due to... We're working with 1,000-pound pieces of equipment here that if someone's not paying attention, they go and die.
That seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah. So pretty much the mom of the boat. The cooking, the cleaning, the happiness, and the booze.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. Okay, so it's really just you, and then you said anywhere between 12 and 20 people. How big's your kitchen? So you got to do 20 people on a boat. I mean, like, I've worked in some small kitchens before. So, like, how small is your kitchen? I can only imagine a boat kitchen small.
So, if you took your kitchen and you cut it in half.
Okay.
That's the space I have to work with.
Okay.
I have a fridge, a dry stores, one flat top, two burners, and one stove.
So, maybe like 8 feet long by maybe like 5 feet wide. Something like that?
Yeah, probably somewhere in there.
6x8, 6x10,
something
like that.
Yeah, not very big.
Okay, so, and is it literally, now, I've heard this term before, a galley kitchen. Is it literally a galley kitchen?
So on our boat, the crew can see what I'm doing at all times. It's not an enclosed space.
Mm-hmm. Open kitchen.
Yeah, so it's
that's very
it's,
trendy.
It's an open, it's got, like, I'm segregated to a point where, like...
You just stay over there.
I stay, like... Like, here's where the wall is, that's where they're eating, and this is where I'm cooking.
Yeah. So you just stay over there,
I stay in my corner, and they leave me alone, so they can...
Don't talk to the weird food guy, but hey, we need that food.
Yeah, right? pretty much.
So, so let's go to the important questions. What got you into cooking? Like, what... why?
Yeah.
Why?
So, I'm the world's pickiest eater. Before I went to a school... I was like chicken tenders and ranch dressing kind of guy.
Sure. And now you're like a chicken tenders and hot sauce kind of guy?
Pretty much.
Okay.
I originally joined the Coast Guard to be a PA, public affairs specialist.
Okay.
Because I love talking to people. I love writing the articles, taking photographs. But the wait for that was like 7 years. So I figured, what other job in the Coast Guard can I talk to everybody?
Okay.
Now you, as a private industry chef, know that you never see your customers unless like there's a complaint or like it's a bigwig that really wants to thank you for the meal.
Yeah, they want the dog and pony show. Yeah. You got to get the dogs and the ponies out, and you got to flip your chef jacket and take off your apron and straighten your hair and your hat and just kind of march out there and present
yourself. So you never see your customers.
No, never.
I see my customers 3 to 4 times a day, depending on the size of the unit I'm at.
That's
so I'm
good.
The center of attention. Like I am talking to everybody. All the time. I know what everybody likes on their for their meals. I know how they like their stuff prepped.
Sure. So do you have like a catchphrase? Like since everyone knows you, you're like, kind of like the celebrity chef. You're like, everyone will be like, bam!
No. I do not.
You're not like, I'm going to Clint it up today, you know?
No, none of that. None of that. Not for me. None of that. Not for me.
Okay, So you wanted to be in PR, but now you're just cooking because that's actually pretty similar to every other story. Well, I got to do a job and I got to get paid. So what can I do now that gets me paid today?
So
that is the restaurant industry.
The
like
biggest thing that I've seen for the Coast Guard, because you're not just cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's like one of the smaller portions of your job.
Sure.
So like if you really love cooking, then you can get burnt out pretty quickly.
Sure.
Because you're doing it so much and you have all the other stuff piled on top of it. So I enjoy cooking, but what I really enjoy is seeing the either instant, hey, dude, I loved your food. This mm-hmm. is great. Or I swear to God, never cook this again. This is the worst meal I've ever made. I love that instant feedback right away.
Yeah.
Because they can't hide it. Like, I give them the food and then I sit there and I stare at them for 30 minutes while they eat their food. And I'm like, hey, was it good? They're like, yeah, dude, too much salt. Like, I love that instant gratification, instant feedback.
I'm sorry, I got to interrupt you here for a second. Do you do that face? Do you sit there?
Oh, yeah.
What does it taste like? You know, like, overbearing. Like,
especially
like,
the newer guys. The new guys, I'm like, how was it? Not going to respond? You didn't like the food? All right. I see how it is. See you tomorrow. Oh, yeah. You got to have fun with the job.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you guys are... try not to get into too many details that you can't talk about, because you know it's military stuff. So, how many meals a day are you responsible for?
So I am responsible for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Okay, so whatever that shift means, and I guess what do you normally make? Let's just start there.
So, we do have a set of guidelines, like. You know, you can only cook this meat so many times a week, this week meat so many times a week. You know, you have to serve a protein, a starch, a vegetable every meal.
Sure.
Except for breakfast, because, you know,
you can just
broccoli
have
for breakfast would be weird.
Right. You can have carbs, starches, and carbs.
Yeah.
And then a fatty protein.
Pretty much.
Which is bacon
pretty
and sausage.
Much.
Yeah, that's there it is, guys. That's the restaurant guideline right there.
Yeah.
You've had breakfast.
It's true. But yeah, so we have specific guidelines we have to follow. And I like to take ideas from the crew.
Sure.
So, like, we'll have, like, a menu planning board or whatever. Yeah. Or I'll just be like, hey, guys, shoot me a text if there's something you want. And I'll put it on the menu for next week.
Okay. I like that. Okay, so I think we've gotten...
I have a question.
Oh, okay, here we go. We have our first question from our production assistant. So he says, I remember being on a merchant marine ship on my way to Iraq. Tiger sauce went on everything. How much do you guys go through?
Well, tiger sauce... I have no clue what that is, but I'm sure it's delicious. We go through...
It's made out of real tiger's blood.
We go through a lot of yum-yum sauce, which sounds kind of similar. It's usually predominantly, it's like Asian mayonnaise.
Okay.
I love it. The crew loves it. But we go through that. And Tapatio, or Cristal, that's like the fancy hot sauce here, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Cristal. And they love to say it in like the fancy accent, like, I want the Cristal! And they go through bottles and bottles of that stuff. Yeah. Not tiger sauce, but ours is Cristal.
Cristal?
Yeah, that's what Cristal we go through.
Cristal hot sauce.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Red Hot Riplets. I bet it's that's what's on Red Hot Riplet chips. Okay, so we know who you are in your personal history. So let's go into what the show's all about. Why is what you do important? So let's address that. Okay, so what would happen if you weren't there to do your job? Like, let's say your position was removed. Like, you know, Clint works in PR now, and there is no more guy on the ship cooking.
Life would suck.
Okay.
Since I'm the only
person... Like, would the world end, comets fall from the sky, blazing hellfire?
Not to that degree, but you're the lifeblood of the boat. You're the morale of the ship. So, you know, I could be having a really crappy day at home, or something really bad happened, and you can't take that into the workplace.
Okay.
Because you're the only person there. So, you know, the guys are out on deck anywhere from, depending on the time of the year, like 8 hours a day to like 15 hours a day in the freezing cold and the scorching heat.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one bad meal will ruin the day.
I can see that.
I can't let my mood affect my cooking. So, like, I have to make the best food possible every day. So that way while they're out there, you know, working their butts off, I'm inside making the best food possible. So that way when they do get that break...
Sure.
They get something that's delicious, whether it's a sandwich, a burrito, whatever they really like, that'll give them that boost of energy and excitement to continue on until the next meal.
Now, this is highly scientific here, but, you know, this is my investigative journalism here now. They're out in the hot and the cold.
Yes.
Are you in the climate control?
Yes. Yes.
You want to do this job. This is the job you want to do, guys. This is it right here.
Yeah, they don't trust... it's a joke in the military that cooks break everything outside the kitchen. And it's true.
I believe that.
When I was in the Middle East, they stuck me on one of the guns. I pulled the trigger once, the gun broke, we had to go back in port. So they moved me from that gun and they stuck me on another gun. We got underway, I pulled the trigger once, that gun broke. And before we went over there and we had training on these guns, they put me and another cook on the same gun for shooting for shooting practice.
Because two cooks
on one gun.
On one gun definitely means it'll definitely work.
So it was a 50 cal machine gun. You know, it's got the whole charging handle like you see in the movies.
Yeah, very masculine. It's a very masculine piece of machinery. It's like,
I literally ripped that off, like the shearing arm off. Like, they tell you, like...
Are you feeling, like, purely masculine at this point? No. You rip off the like, charging arm, you're like,
they sit,
man!
They sit there, they're like, don't worry, you won't break it. Like, use your force to charge the gun. And sure enough, ripped it right off. And the guy who was in charge of it went... I've never seen that happen before.
Where are we buying these guns from if they're shearing off? You know?
Like, well, they don't. They generally don't. But he's just like, I've never seen that happen. And then, of course, it was the other cook's turn, and the barrel broke when he touched the gun. So they stopped us shooting that day. Cooks
you're
were
like,
done.
We're done.
They said we passed and we were good.
You're like...
We followed all procedures correctly.
Like, you want something flambéed? I got that. You want a creme brulee? I got that. You want a machine gun charge? No, sir. Not going to happen
pretty
around
much.
Here.
Pretty much. Yeah, so that was...
So it's interesting that you say that you're very much like the morale officer, right? The cooking person. Because I don't know if you've ever seen this show. It's very small. It's called Star Trek, and not a lot of people have ever seen it.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite characters is from Voyager, and his name's Neelix. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel, and he always goes around going, well, I'm the morale officer. Well, I'm the morale officer. And it makes me feel like maybe you are the Neelix of the boat, if you've ever seen it.
Well, morale officer, like, that's one of my titles. Like,
right.
I'm in charge of the unit's morale fund.
Okay.
So I'm in charge of, like, hey, guys, we're going to go, like, so we have meetings and stuff, and we all vote on what we want to spend our morale fund on. You know, okay. We get so much per year. And so, like...
So do you get to do the theme parties? Like, why? Like this week, we're going to do a luau.
If they wanted to, we definitely could.
Okay.
That's all, like, it's
so you're
be...
like... You're like Mr. Mom. You're like...
Like
Mrs.
I said, I'm...
This is like 1960s home I'm planner. You're like, I cook, I clean, I plan the parties, and then my husband goes out and he works.
Pretty much.
This is amazing.
Pretty much.
This is a good gig.
Yeah.
You're kept. You know? And they you get paid for on top of it. This is amazing.
Well... Not all the time. I don't get paid for it all the time. But, you know, that's another story.
So let's move to the next question. Who on your staff is indispensable?
Me, myself, and I, because I am my only staff.
You're the only staff.
If I fire myself, nobody gets fed. If I mess up and I yell at myself, nobody gets fed.
Okay, that's a good... So you got 12 to 20 guys. This is kind of a tactical question, a restaurant question. How do you know how much food you're going to need? Like, you know, are you ordering by the week? Are you ordering by the day? You know,
so that is, as you know, a lot of that comes from experience.
Sure.
So the boat I was on in Bahrain, I cooked for almost the same amount of people, a couple more. So you just learn to gauge how much. And we do so I'm able to do my grocery shopping, like, out on town. Mm-hmm. So my two favorite locations are Schnucks and Gordon Food Services.
Okay.
I shop at both of those places the most. I know just about everyone that works at both places by name at this point, after a year. And so I make up my menu, and I'm like, okay, you know, on Tuesdays is usually some form of taco day.
Okay, so like, right. Some form of taco Tuesday.
So like, hey, we're doing steak burritos to order. So I know I need flank steak, and I know I need two packets of flank steak, which is three flank steaks per packet. So I need... six flank steaks for enough burritos for everybody.
Okay.
But that's just solely from experience, you know.
Sure.
I've done it where I just did one packet. I've done it where I've just done three packets. It's like, okay, this one wasn't enough. This one was too much.
Sure.
Just right. Like.
That's a good question. What do you guys do? You got a small boat. What do you do with leftovers?
They get saved. And then.
Saved?
And then.
Are these your quotes saved?
And,
or are these
and then
like...
they get eaten over the course of a 72 hour period, which is as long, the long we're, that is how long we're able to hold leftovers for.
Okay.
And then disposed of.
How do you decide what you're going to serve?
So like I said earlier, a lot of that I leave up to the crew. Like hey guys, what do you want to see on the menu this week? So like, last week, the officer in charge of my boat, Master Chief Mike Love, requested chicken parmesan.
Okay.
So I made chicken parmesan for the crew. You know, I've had other guys, they've asked for pulled pork, they've asked for slow-cooked Italian sausage, T-bone steaks, stuffed pork loin.
Maybe it should come to your boat.
What, you know, whatever they ask for. I am able to purchase it and make it. If I don't know how to make it, I just look up a recipe and then make it that way.
There you go. Okay, so on recipes, where do your recipes come from? Are they all Google. Recipes? Google.
Okay. Or none whatsoever, but usually Google.
Okay. And then you...
A lot of it's experimentation.
Sure,
it's fun.
Yeah. So you had mentioned before we started that you came from a military family.
Yes.
Okay. And then I think your wife also came from one as well. So why don't you talk about that for a second?
So I grew up in the Coast Guard. My father served for 22 years in the Coast Guard. I usually say I'm from Kansas because that's where he retired.
Sure.
From the Coast Guard was in Kansas. And then...
How do you retire from the Coast Guard in Kansas?
So, way back in the day...
I mean, they don't... Like, you know what I mean? Like,
there's
we
no
have big
rivers
river.
There either. So, way back in the day, when the paychecks were coming from the West Coast, or the East Coast, the West Coast Coast Guard's people were
was
like...
Was there a rap feud at this time?
No. This was before that.
So a long, long time ago, before the East Coast, West Coast rap feud.
Yeah, pretty
paychecks
much.
Were coming from the East Coast, and the oppression of the East Coast paychecks had to be stopped.
Pretty much. Pretty
I think
much.
I set the stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so the West Coast Guardsmen complained they weren't getting their paychecks in time. So a senator back in the day that had all this power was like... We'll put the paychecks in the center of the country for the Coast Guard. So the Pay and Personnel Center was put in Topeka, Kansas. And then all paychecks got sent out and all received at the same time.
There you go.
Well, a couple years later, electronic transferring came around, so we no longer use paper paychecks. And they went, well, we already spent millions of dollars
to move
in here.
You keep saying this thing, check. What is a check?
Exactly.
I don't understand. Is this a thing?
Exactly. So they moved it there, and then they're like, well, we're not going to move it again. So they just kept it in Topeka.
They just kept it in Topeka. Well, that's a good use of government funds, in my opinion, you know, because why waste it? You got the building. You got the guys employed there. They've already bought houses,
pretty
I'm sure.
Much.
You know, or at least they've got at least a long lease on their apartment, you know. Maybe a mid-sized sedan.
Something like that. Yes, that's why Coast Guard is in Kansas.
Okay, so that's you, and we've covered who you are and why what you do is important, and it's timely, and so we should talk about it. We're not going to talk politics, because that's not what this show is about, but how does the government shutdown affect how you do your job? Does it at all? Did you even know? Is this news to you? Like, do you know?
I just now found out.
I mean, it doesn't affect me.
I need to consult Twitter to figure out more. One second.
Yeah, we must get the Twitter feed going. Like, we should have the color commentary. Like, you know, user sexybaby39 says that the government is shut down and she really doesn't care for it.
Thankfully, it doesn't really affect the job itself much at all. I still cook 2 to 3 meals a day.
So your saute pans don't like warp and bend when the government shut down?
Nope. Thankfully not. No order 66s from Dark Lord Palpatine come through. None of that stuff.
Execute order 66.
Yeah.
You're only getting fried eggs instead of sunny side up.
Pretty much. So none of that occurs. Thankfully it hasn't hit the household yet. Okay. I say so.
Sure.
Today was the first day that we didn't receive a paycheck.
Okay.
It's the first time.
That's why I fed you.
Thank you. It's the first time.
I made you drive an hour. You know, I feel like with my expertise in cooking, you know, like it was really like you got a 5-star meal.
That's
so
true.
It was like giving like a $150 meal.
It was really good.
$5 in gas.
It was really good.
I'm a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
it's an all over plus for you.
Yeah. So today was the first time in U.S. history that a military branch did not get a paycheck.
That's crazy.
Yeah. First time since the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, because I think back then they were just like printing currency and going, yeah, it's money. Sure it is.
Something
of course
like
it is. It says Massachusetts on it, but definitely it's money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so immediately right now it's not affecting you. If it does later, we can cross that bridge when it comes to it.
Yep.
Okay, so that's it for the serious discussion. Now it's time to do some fun stuff.
Alrighty.
Okay, so I'm going to move your water out of the way.
Go for it.
So, like I told you earlier, I came up with this game last night.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're consulting the classic White House cookbook, and we're going to play a game. I thought it was apropos. It's the White House cookbook. It was originally published in the early 1800s.
Well, you know, he just gets burgers and Wendy's and Big Macs now that he serves to people on silver platters, right?
Well, it's the 2 for $5.
That's a good point.
I mean, have you had the 2 for $5?
It's a good deal.
Also, they're not hamburgers anymore. They're hamburgers.
Hamburgers.
And I'm going to McDonald's later, and I'm actually going to order a hamburger. And when they correct me, I'm going to go, I'm sorry, we already informed Germany, it's a hamburger now.
Good point.
So, we're going to play a game, and I'm going to read you the recipe,
okay.
And you're going to tell me if you have any idea what it is and whether or not you would eat it.
Okay.
And a realistic response is, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do this.
So, we're just pulling towards the end of the book. All right. This is Wives and Hostesses. Oh, I don't want to see this. Okay. So we're in sauces, I'll tell you that. So I'm going to read you the recipe, and you're going to just take a guess at what you think it is and whether or not you'd eat it.
Okay,
so here's it. So this one doesn't really have the exact ingredients and measurements. It's just, it's an old-fashioned cookbook. So you chop capers very little, unless they're quite small. Make a half pint of drawn butter to which to add the capers with a large spoonful of juice from the bottle in which they're sold. That's very technical.
Yeah, what juice from what bottle?
Juice from what bottle?
Juice from the bottle of the capers?
Capers, yeah. Okay. So caper juice and capers, right?
Must be Thanksgiving.
Let it simmer and serve it in a tureen. Nasturtiums much resemble capers in taste, though larger they may be used or in fact preferred by many. They're grown in a climbing vine. Well, there's a lot of stuff on how not to use capers. So basically, you're chopping capers and you're putting them in liquid and then boiling them.
So it's
what kind of sauce is this?
It's capers and butter. So it's like a bechamel sauce because it's butter based.
Yeah, so it's a bechamel. So what would you call it?
A white sauce.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's called caper sauce in here.
Huh.
I'm sorry, but capers and butter is not sauce.
No.
It's not sauce.
That, no.
No. So would you eat this?
No, because you're just eating butter.
Butter and capers.
You're just eating boiled butter with some, like, are they soggy capers? Are they still chewy? Like, will they still break my teeth? Like,
I don't know.
No.
Okay, so let's pick another
Next.
One. Next. Okay, so we're saying no to that one.
That was a bad sauce.
All right, so this is recipes. This is in vegetables.
I'm already not eating this, but continue. I don't eat vegetables.
You boil cauliflowers till about half done.
Who eats cauliflowers?
I eat cauliflower.
Ew.
Mix 2 tablespoons of flour with 2 yolk of eggs. Then add water enough to make a rather thin paste. Add salt to taste. The 2 egg whites are beaten until stiff, and then mix into the yolks, flour, and water. Dip each branch of the cauliflowers in the mixture, and then fry them in hot fat. So deep fried cauliflower. When done, take them off of the skimmer and turn the colander, dust salt all over, and serve warm. Would you eat deep fried cauliflower?
Definitely not. Well, for one, it's cauliflower, so I can't stand it.
So you're just out there.
I'm just out at the mention of cauliflower.
So many people, though, will, if you deep fried it, like a pickle, deep fried pickles are fantastic, right?
Still nasty.
Deep fried broccoli.
Still disgusting.
Okay. So you wouldn't eat deep fried
okra, even worse.
Oh, geez. And you're in the Midwest right now, / I guess technically once you cross 44, we're in the South. So we're in the North right now. I guess we're in the Midwest. But once you go over that, I mean, you know, 44 is this highway in our area. And if you looked at a map of St. Louis, you'd know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
All right, and let's
play.
So we got 2 more games, and so you can pick the last 2. So we can either play Last Meal, What Would You Eat Before You Die, or we can play the alphabet food game, where we try to go between the two of us. I'll start with A, and then you'll go B, C, D. You know the alphabet, right? You learned that before?
1, 2,
No, 4.
It's
like that one, but it's the ABC one.
A,
I gave you the first 3.
Okay, sounds good.
So do you want to do the Last Meal, or do you want to do ABC?
I say the Last Meal only because ABCs, I wouldn't be able... Like, you'd be like, A...
What comes after A?
I stop it. I couldn't even name you a dish's name that starts with A.
Like artichoke.
You said a dish, not an ingredient.
An ingredient, a dish, any of it, right? Anything. Any food-related thing.
I would still fail.
You'd still fail. I'll even give you B, banana.
Banana, C, capers. Oh,
capers,
God.
Cod.
Oh, cod.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. D, dog. You can eat dog.
Vietnam, hello.
Okay, so we won't play that. So
we could do it. It'd be interesting.
I think we're already doing it.
All right.
So now we're on E. So you're on E.
E.
What starts with an E?
Eel. That's a good one.
Okay, so after E is F. So F is, I want to say foxtrot. Flambe is a preparation method. Oh, man.
It's a lot harder than you think it is.
What is F? What starts with an F? Flounder. Flounder, yeah, that's an ingredient, right?
I think she was doing fowl.
Our production assistant's helping us. A, B, C, D, E, F, so G. So you're in G.
Okay. G is...
It's a lot easier when Noki. You're not... Noki? Okay, yeah, because it's a silent G.
Silent G.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G,
don't
H.
Don't learn your alphabet this way, kids. You're fail. Pterodactyl. Why is that for P?
So, A, B, C, E, F, G, H. So, I was going to say, for G, I was going to say grouse. I was going to say hare. So, rabbit.
Yeah, rabbit. Right?
Okay,
yeah.
A, B, C, E, F, G, H, I.
Ice. Ice.
Ice? I guess
like an icy.
Yeah? Like an icy pop? Like yeah. An ice... Okay, like okay, I'll take it. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. J, juniper berries.
Okay. K, kangaroo. Delicious, by the way.
Okay. I've had it in Australia. L, llama. You can eat that.
It is good.
Yeah.
M. I'm really good at the alphabet now that I'm thinking about it because it's phonetic for me.
Sure.
M, moose.
Moose, yeah. You can eat moose. Okay.
N. I just said it. N. The letter's N.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm running through it. I'm trying to think of what it is. N. Oh, God, this game is so hard. Why do we have to pick the hard game? Oh, Neapolitan ice cream.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
M-N-O. O. Oh, that. Okay, I got one for that. So now I got to start thinking of P.
She's saying octopus. We're playing like Pictionary, or yeah. What is charades, yeah. But without words.
You guys
here
can't see this, but the production assistants are behind us trying to help
She's
us.
She's reenacting ingredients. You should have seen capers. It was
capers
really funny.
Is great. pee. What is a P word? Oh, God.
Pear.
Oh, yeah. Pears. Yeah. Okay.
Q.
Q.
Quail.
Quail. R, rhinoceros. Oh, those are extinct. I'm sorry. I just learned about this recently.
Yeah, only a certain species.
Oh, okay.
Subspecies.
Okay. See, this is very worrying.
So R. So you still don't... Because you say rhinoceros. That's completely incorrect.
Yeah. I can't say rhinoceros. What? Not even rhinoceros.
No.
Can I?
No, they don't rhyme. R, you could kind of cheat off of what you did earlier.
Oh, yeah. Rice. That's a good one. Yep. Rice is good. Q, R, S.
Salmon.
Salmon. S, T. Trout.
Ooh, I was going to say turtle.
Or tuna.
Yeah, tuna.
That one's good, too. I like tuna. Tuna's my favorite sushi. You can't eat unicorns. They're not
real. Oh, yeah. Urchin.
Yeah, urchin.
She took her hair and was like...
T-U-V. V would be...
Venison.
Yeah, venison. Okay, V...
S-T-V-W?
W? Yeah.
Yeah, U-V-W, so...
Now...
Whiskey.
Whiskey or watermelon.
Ooh,
watermelon, whiskey. Yeah. whiskey-filled watermelon.
Ooh, yeah.
Now we've got it. Okay, you know what? I'm just going to say that we're almost there.
S-T-U-V-W-X?
X? What starts with an X? Is there any foods that start with an X?
30 animals that start with an X.
Well, yeah, no. I was going to say zebra, but that's with a Z.
It's a Z. An X does come before zebra, kids. It's zebra, the X is silent.
This is why you shouldn't play the alphabet game with dyslexic people.
Right.
Like myself.
So we're at X.
I don't think there's such a food.
Our production assistant is Googling.
A zigua?
It's another name for a watermelon. You're learning facts here today,
facts
kids.
Facts here. Facts and science. Okay, I'm just going to call the game here.
Wait, we got Y. We have two more. We can't quit
y
with two
and
letters
Z.
To go.
But I'm such a quitter. I want to quit.
No. Y. Oh. Yak.
Yak. Okay. And then Z is for zebra. And people in Africa do eat zebras.
Yes, they do.
I've never eaten a zebra.
Zebra steaks.
And technically, if you're Canadian or British, it's a zebra.
Yes.
Thanks, Mr. Guinea Pig.
Yeah.
Oh, we could have used that for G.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can eat that. You can eat horse, too.
C could have been capybara.
Yeah, C could have been capybara. And then in Sicily, they eat horses.
They do.
So you could have used C.
Pig for P.
Yeah, why didn't we think of the logical ones?
Oh, my gosh. We were trying so hard to get so serious about this game that we completely ignored all of the ones that people eat on a daily basis.
Okay, so let's just do the last game. Heck, why not? We did the entire alphabet game. Last meal, what do you eat before you die? You're in the electric, you're about to go in the electric chair. I don't know what you did. Maybe you served really bad pork on your ship. And they're going to execute you, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to make you walk the plank. Do they still do that?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's just go with
the
yes.
The pirates in Somalia do.
Okay, that's actually kind of awesome, but terrifying also at the same time because it's real. Now things have gotten very serious around here.
No, okay. Made that up, by the way. But he believed it because it sounded real.
I did. I totally believe you. It sounded legitimate. So if you, your last meal, you're about to go in the electric chair.
Okay.
What is it? Anything you want. It could be, so, you could even have two starches if you wanted.
She already knows what I'm going to say. But see, she's just giving me the face like if you see anything else, I know you're full of shit.
Yeah, don't be fancy.
So it's chicken parmesan, but with angel hair pasta and Alfredo sauce. No red sauce. So the reason I do angel hair pasta.
Okay.
So, seeing as how your wife's Italian.
I want to tell you wrong. Like, every part of my body's screaming wrong.
But listen, it sounds, okay. When I...
Sure.
So your wife's Italian.
Yeah.
So, in Italy, angel hair pasta is usually eaten by kids.
Sure.
And the elderly.
Right.
It's easier to chew.
So tiny.
Exactly. So the reason I prefer it, though, is the chicken parm is so heavy.
Right.
And so, like, big... That I use angel hair pasta because it counteracts it. So you can eat more of both when you eat the pasta that's light and the chicken is heavy.
That's actually some really sound thought.
And then I just prefer Alfredo sauce on my chicken parm.
So my last meal, about to go to the electric chair, is a weird blend. And I really think that last meals really represent who you are and where you came from.
Yeah.
Right? And so mine, I have a very weird background. So it's meatloaf.
Okay.
Canned green beans, instant mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
It's terrible, right? It's awful.
It sounds delicious, except for and the green bean part.
General Tso's chicken, fried rice, and crab rangoon. All on the same plate.
Yeah.
And now we're all on the same page.
I would eat all of that except for the green beans.
It's okay. I'll eat the green beans for you. That's not even a vegetable. They're actually a protein.
That's true.
So they're not even a vegetable.
That's
so next time you go to eat green beans, you can just remember this is just vegetable proteins.
That's true.
Just like corn's a grain.
Yeah. That's true.
Okay. So, you guys have heard it first. This is it. This is the ending moments of the very first The People Behind Your Food. And I am, of course, Chef Ryan Callahan. And if you guys did not have an opportunity to watch this entire video, you can listen to the entire thing on my podcast channel on chefryancallahan.com. So again, thanks, Clint.
Thanks,
it's always a pleasure
me.
To have people here and visiting. If you guys ever have any questions, if you want to be on the show, if you are working anything with food, if you're a dietitian, if you're a farm, like I say, from farm to table, even if you build those tables, I want to talk to you. So anyways, I'm Chef Ryan Callahan. Thank you guys for joining and have a great night.